Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Roma Press Podcast. We hope that you are doing very, very well. Andy, I know you are doing well because you are where currently? You're in Italy at the moment, but let everyone know where you are.
Oh, yeah, I'm on the Amalfi Coast. But, you know, when you hear Amalfi, I mean, I swear to God, I have a terrace and I have this view, beautiful view over the sea. And the other day, apparently, I saw the boat on which Orlando Bloom and Katy Perry were on because they were like surrounded by like five smaller boats with security on them. And apparently they stay at Capri. So but it's
of
not as
they do. Everybody stays there.
Everybody stays there. But I think that the luxurious part is when you have a boat. I don't have a boat. And so life is much, much, much harder for those that don't have a boat around here, because you gotta have, you know, you gotta do a lot of driving and a lot of walking around, and it's mostly rocky places here, and it's super hot. So it's
It's like going to Monaco and not being a millionaire. You really you don't know what to do.
Oh, of course.
For anybody who has been to Monaco, it's like the place is dripping with cash. So if you're not a millionaire, you really do stick out like a sore thumb, because I assume you're probably not wearing the fully tailored suit with the handkerchief in the pocket. So yeah, I imagine that probably is akin to, again, being one of us plebs who goes to Monaco for just to see the wealth. But nonetheless, let's get into everything that has transpired, because a lot has happened since we last recorded last week. We can go into the friendly stuff. Roma faced a Portuguese side that I did not even know existed. I have to be honest with you. I Googled what division they were in, and apparently they're in the top flight, which I had no clue.
Really? Wow. Oh God.
You knew who that club was? Be serious.
I didn't. Belenenses.
Okay. All right. Well, just making sure. I mean, clearly you're more well read than I am. If you knew who that was. But bypassing that, there's not a lot to get into in regards to that, in my opinion. I don't want to see anybody talking about Rui Patricio, that error. Can we please stop? Please? Did you see? I was actually depressed at how many people were depressed about it. Their depression made me depressed. Are we really freaking out about that? All that we have seen from goalkeepers in the last 5 years, like that is, or 4 years, I guess, that is the thing that's going to set you off? Come on.
Oh, yeah, but also, you know, it's the second friendly, and also, just as I don't rave and go crazy about some really good saves he made in the friendly before that against Sevilla. Was it Porto? I forget.
He had a couple. Porto, he had a few good ones.
See, but this is the thing. These are friendlies. Anything happens in these friendlies. I mean, you have players like Carles Perez having great preseason friendlies, and then you don't know. So I'm just saying, I don't want to go over that, just because I don't even want to focus on the good stuff. Like, I'll focus on seeing, for example, Zaniolo once again get some minutes into his legs and looking more comfortable with each game. But I'm not going to focus on the goal of his, just because, you know, it's great. But it's a friendly. That's where it ends. Yeah, so
exactly.
For me, the judgment works both ways. It's fine. There are some really interesting players getting more playing time. Somebody like Bove is getting consistent playing time. Mancini, Smalling finally is putting a string of healthy performances. So that's a welcome sight. It seems like. And it seems like everybody's more or less, you know, on board with Mourinho and with everything that's going on. And Karsdorp looks good. Nothing's changed. So
it looks very good.
that's where we can take this with these friendlies. It's been intense. I mean, I don't think we've had so many friendlies over previous years, besides the usual cheap tournaments in the US. Oh my God. I mean, I totally understand that that's the one occasion that a lot of fans get to see Roma, but man, those games in Philadelphia or Cincinnati or whatever, you know, dripping hot, the whole stadium right. is there raving, and then Juve wins as usual, or we win at the last minute with a Tuminello goal. Remember that was the year?
Oh yeah,
Tuminello and Under. They connected and they
legends.
Scored a banger. Yeah, yeah. That's what it's
wonderful
made of.
Stuff.
I'm just excited to how these friendlies will shape up into the first game. Like you know, you see this team concede in these last few matches. They've conceded, and then that's okay with the friendlies. I want to see perhaps more focus as the season opens. But that's the only thing I really can say about this stuff.
All right. Well, then let's go back to the market then. The deal that we all thought would happen, and frankly, even the people involved thought would happen, and would happen weeks ago, because, again, Jose Noguera, who is Xhaka's agent, he thought this could easily get done before the Euro, which is seems, well, literally was 2 months ago. I was going to say seems like ages ago, but
yeah,
I mean, in football,
it does.
A couple of months is ages. But we go from this being the closest thing to a certainty to now not happening. And Xhaka, after months of liking every single post that Jose Mourinho put on Instagram, I mean, Jose Mourinho could have talked about going to the restroom and Xhaka was liking it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was crazy.
And he even almost admitted to learning Italian and,
yes.
and liking the city, and we all know what Roma represents. It's very funny. I mean, we sat here and we said that, you know, there is no way a deal like this can fall through at this stage, but it did, because
yes.
I guess the waiting game didn't suit one party or the other. I still think that Arsenal renewing him is such a head scratcher. If I were an Arsenal fan,
it's insane.
Like from even a programming point of view, they got so many midfielders in this market that were supposed to be Xhaka's replacement, and now they're signing him for another 4 years. The guy who's 28, and now I don't know. It doesn't work. I guess that from a Roma perspective, I can understand that there is a need to make sales that is prioritized over signing players. You know, maybe second thoughts on signing a 28-year-old or something. I don't know. But at least from that point of view, it makes more sense than if you were an Arsenal fan. You hate Xhaka. This is a guy who's done nothing at your club for the past 2 years, in your opinion. And all of a sudden, the management that wanted him to leave signs him for another 4 years. Absolutely baffled by this.
Oh, it is head scratching is really the kindest way I could put it. I really don't know what to make of it, only because it seemed like such a certainty that for it not to happen, I would love to know the inside of what caused all of this. Now, we asked Thiago Pinto, he chose not to comment on it, but he was commenting on it back in June, telling us that it's getting close. So I guess I'm confused as to why now he's a bit coy to say anything about it. But anyway, I mean, putting the drama of the actual negotiation involved, from a tactical point of view, where does this leave Roma in your opinion? I still maintain that if Xhaka had arrived, I think with almost a certainty, he would have been the preferred midfielder alongside Veretout. I don't think that is exactly a controversial opinion to have, but now they are in a very peculiar position because now it's well, what do you do now? A, B, the season is just a few weeks away. Okay, this conference league thing, it is mind-boggling. I can't even believe. Do you want to know what the opening of their season looks like? Like, did you know they have the first leg and then they face Fiorentina and then the second leg? Oh. Again, I need to ask UEFA, who asked for this to be a thing? Oh, why is this a thing? I mean, my word.
No, last time we attacked this competition, we got scolded by a lot of people who, you know, live in places like Norway and whose teams don't get a chance at the big shot. And it's fine. Like, I totally get it because you want to see, you know, teams arrive at your local stadium and feature in the same competition as your boyhood club or something. But from a Roma fan perspective, or at least my and yours, this is just so it's just demoralizing that you can't.
Right.
You know. I'm looking at this season. I'm still just looking at Serie A. My brain doesn't want to integrate Conference League as something that we actually
do. Oh, it's awful. Oh, yeah. I still can't believe it.
So, I mean, this Xhaka deal, getting back to it, where does it leave us? When I was all for it, you know, and it's funny because this is always the case. The talking heads, at first, they say, oh, why do Roma need Xhaka? Xhaka is useless. Xhaka is not a... is a has-been, you know, and as soon as the deal falls through, it's, oh my God, how are Roma going to be able to play without Xhaka? I do think that Xhaka, more than anything tactics-wise, was going to bring something character-wise, you know, something that you missed on an emotional level. I think that's... And usually those are the players that become the backbone to a team led by Mourinho. It's the players that have character, that will push the team around. And I guess that's probably the biggest loss when a deal like that, you know, just evaporates before your eyes. To me, for example, I'm just saying that currently I'm looking at this roster. I see, what, 6-7 midfielders? That's a lot of names in the middle of the pitch. So I'm sure that in the worst-case scenario, you stay the way you are right now. It's not tactics-wise, it's not going to be a big loss. Like, I don't think that the earth is going to shift just because you didn't bring Xhaka on a tactical level. But on an emotional level, there is something left to be desired. You'd wish to have somebody on that pitch that will help lead the team when, you know, the likes of Dzeko, if he's going to stay, or Pellegrini fail to do so, then you want somebody alongside, say, Mancini and Karsdorp to get the team rallied around. And I think that's what Xhaka was going to bring to the table. And I don't know how. Listen, I've been reading all these reports and all this stuff. The name of the game is sell the dead weight. Roma have done as much as they could have by getting rid of the likes of Kluivert, Under, Paul Lopez, and that allowed you to bring in Rui Patricio, Shomurodov, and Vinha, who's waiting for an official announcement. The poor guy is in that hotel room all by himself. He's just waiting. Remember, like Paulo Sousa, who was supposed to be waiting in some hotel in Rome.
Waiting.
Yeah, waiting for the call. But the point is that it's clear as day that Roma, brought the players that they brought in by getting rid of some players. Then they were supposed to get rid of Olsen. That didn't go well. They wanted to get rid of Florenzi already. That didn't go well. You have Pedro to take care of. You had Nzonzi refuse an offer from Benfica a month ago. So, and this clearly, at some point in time, was going to pose a problem. And this is the problem. You can't really do much of anything unless you get rid of some of these names.
Welcome to Pro Tips for the Pros, brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads. In this series, we'll explore essential advice for professional contractors to deliver outstanding renovation results. Let's dive in. After completing the renovation, follow up with the customer to ensure their satisfaction and address any remaining concerns. Provide maintenance tips and guidance to help them preserve the results of the renovation for years to come. Thank you for joining us for this pro tip on planning thorough renovations. Stay tuned for more expert advice brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads.
A lot of people tolerate ordinary. Ordinary bathrooms, kitchens, entryways. Well, not on your watch. If you're a pro, you've got a new partner in town. Floor & Decor. From tile to wood to stone, Floor & Decor has more styles and job lot quantities of Schluter, Mappe, Laetocrete, and other brands pros trust. Come see a whole new way to wow with Floor & Decor. Coming soon to Bailey's Crossroads.
Yeah, definitely. And even though some of the guys you mentioned that they've already managed to get rid of, I mean, they still have so much work to do. Pedro, Pastore, Inzonzi, Florenzi. And frankly, I know this. I guess I'm still confused as to why people are still panicking about the market, but nothing can happen right now and will not happen, okay, until they get rid of those guys. It's just a fact. I mean, I hate to harp on this, but it really is simple math, Andy. I mean, look at Pedro, Pastore, Inzonzi. Go look at where they are currently on Roma's wage bill, and it becomes obvious fairly quickly as to why. All three of them together,
they make around $11 million a year.
It's awful. Yeah. It's terrible. It is absolutely terrible. So they need to do that first. And frankly, to avoid any sort of situation that we saw with Palotta, I don't blame them. I'm not angry for them choosing to do that. Because at some point, I don't know if people have been paying attention this close, but Dan Friedkin continues to just pour cash into this club. I mean, an obscene amount of cash, and you can't realistically expect that he's going to keep doing that. At some point, they're going to have to turn things around as far as lowering debts, increasing revenues. Now, of course, long-term stadium will help that, but in the short term, he's just pouring cash into this. And again, I don't know how much longer he's going to sustain that. So they have to go down this route by cutting costs. So it's not exactly a shock. I mean, look at, do we want to go into what the other clubs are doing? I mean, look at Inter. Did they sell their soul for this last Scudetto? Because I'm pretty sure that is like what it is akin to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they, you know, they were tired of being a meme, and so they said, okay, let's hire the most expensive manager out there, and let's get his preferred striker, and then let's get the biggest prospect for a right back, and then let's do this, let's do that, let's overpay here, let's overpay there. And short term, it worked. They got what they wanted, you know. They turned it around, and after 11 years they got their Scudetto. And they did it in style, but it seemed like this was only a short-term program. Like they had no objective beyond that, and that's how it all crashed. And so with Roma, it seems like it's in order to start something for the Friedkins, they need to like burn everything to the ground. But there is only so much you can do when some of these guys have zero intention of leaving. You have these guys on massive contracts for years and years to come. Pedro has 2 years left on his contract. Okay. It's not something like, oh, next year, we put him in the stands and next year he'll leave. No, if he wants to, he can stay for another 2 years. He doesn't give a shit. Pastore, same thing. Fazio, same thing. So it's just a very depressing thought that, you know, as a club, you want to turn the ship around. You want to make a name for yourself as Dan Friedkin, as Ryan Friedkin. You want to, you know, clear this team of its past errors and start fresh. But you can't. because there is only so much you can do. You can offer Nzonzi a nice, nice destination in Qatar. Is he gonna accept that? Is he gonna, is Pedro gonna lower his wages to play at a Serie A side like Genoa? Because that was right. That was the name. And how is a club like Genoa gonna handle a $3 million salary? You know, that's the thing. Is that these guys? And you see Pastore putting on Instagram every time he goes to Trigoria, and this Trigoria looks like a ghost town right now. And he seems to be happy. He seems to be content with that. With the fact that he's just training on his own. I mean, how depressing it must be to be a professional footballer. You get to your training facility and there is nobody there. Guess what?
Right.
Because you're not part of the team anymore. Like, is that so hard to accept and move on? And so that's why every time I see people being, oh, why can't we go for this player? Or why don't we just sell him? Why don't we get rid of this guy? Listen, Fazio was about to have his medicals with Parma.
With Parma, right.
And he refused on the day of his medical. He just walked away. That's what it comes down to. You cannot make this stuff up. It really comes down to these guys just not willing to be professionals and move on.
Yeah, 100%. And I guess in relation to this, I saw some people raising the argument, well, they just brought in the guy you brought up, Shamuradov, for 20 million euros. Why can't they spend that on, why couldn't they have put that towards Xhaka? Well, first off, they brought him on loan with obligation, so they don't have to put the entire acquisition on the books for this season, or for their current financial year, A. And then B, it just seemed like, so far in the preseason at least, midfield at the current moment really isn't my biggest concern. Now, again, am I going to draw a ton of conclusions from the preseason? Of course not. But that said, when we look on paper, Annie, they still have a lot of good pieces, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you agree, but I feel like they had to address, in my opinion, because listen, Mourinho has been dying for an attacker for the last month. He's been asking for somebody else. Shamuradov, he brings that versatility. He can play a number of roles. He said he can play out wide. He can play as a nine. So he offers you some flexibility. To me, that seemed like a more pressing need. Now, I'm sure, again, others will disagree with that, but in my opinion, I think you needed that before you started to address the midfield, because even when we look there, Andy, talk about guys that need to go, I'm sorry, but look at all of the names there. If you bring in a guy without sending someone away, you're going to have an absolute overcrowded department. I'm sorry, but you will.
Oh yeah, and guys will be fighting for the places. So obviously, it's not ideal to go into this new season with, say, Bove as your first replacement, or Darbo still hanging around, because I think that these guys would do very well on loan, but on loan, on a sensible loan, not on a loan where they go and then they spend the majority of time on the bench and maybe they come on for the last game of the season. It's not ideal, but there also comes a point where you're like, okay, but look, we have Cristante, VR, Diawara, Bove, Darbo, fighting for the same position. We still have, as midfielders, we still have Ante Coric, still alive and breathing, the Croatian talent of 2018, I believe that was he won an award for that.
Incredible.
And Steven Nzonzi, who's also a midfielder, also for that same position. So it's as I said, it's this transfer window was never going to be easy, because you ask Thiago Pinto, you join in January, you basically get handed a list of names that need to go. The problem is that this list is very, very long, and we're in a market where few teams can make moves, and even fewer teams can afford, say, paying $2 million for Robin Olsen's salary.
That's
the thing. So obviously, the need was up front, because up front you don't know what Dzeko can do after a season like the one he's had. It was, I think, 80% certain that we would see him, you know, leave. It was, or maybe stay around, but stay around and do what? Stay around and have what kind of mentality, what kind of motivation, and what kind of output he can have this season? Because last season he stunk up the place so bad, you know, that even his biggest fans were starting to be like, "Oh, maybe it's time for him to retire." The man is 35. There is only so much you can do when you're 35, and like Dzeko, you base a lot of your game on physical strength, on winning the ball over, on intercepting the ball, on holding up the play, and then running to the left or to the right. And it's that's your biggest question mark. Then Borja Mayoral, again, career best season, 17 goals, 6 assists, or something like that, and. What can he
that
repeat
poor guy,
that?
He has turned into an afterthought. You never hear him mentioned.
Now we don't. At least there was the goal in the friendly. If that can, if you can draw a conclusion from that, you can at least see that maybe that's encouraging. But the thing is that you don't have a safe bet on Dzeko. You don't have a safe bet on Mayoral. So then the obvious conclusion for a fan is, well, then go for an attacker that will provide you with 20 goals, 25 goals, and that's Belotti, man. You know, the man who's used to leading a shitty Torino team, or go for the big time and sign up Icardi, who doesn't have enough room and enough space at PSG. But the thing is that the Friedkins made it very clear that, yes, they were going to come in. They were going to put money into the club, but the club
sustainable,
and it was going to be smart moves with somebody like Mourinho. I know that a lot of people expected to see Sergio Ramos leading our defense and the likes, but the thing is that this is a Roma team that needs to pick itself up after finishing 7th, okay? This is a team that qualified for the Conference League on its last game day. So that's the reality of the situation. That's the bottom line. You're never going to go out of your way with Dzeko on the books and sign Belotti by giving him €4.5 million a year. You're not going to do that with Icardi, who gets double of that. It's just not realistic. So when you sign up somebody like Shomurodov, you're basically saying, okay, I don't have a safe bet with Dzeko. I don't have a safe bet Borja Mayoral. But maybe if I can get a third guy who's going to motivate them, give them a little competition, see if it doesn't bother them to get some bench time over a guy who last season played as a substitute for Genoa. That's the bottom line. So you get a hard worker, you get a guy who can do a bit of everything, who's fast, who's mobile, and we'll see where that takes us. But the thing is that the priority in everybody's minds, including the fans, is that this team is working hard as hell to get rid of players that just do not want to leave. And in reality, is nobody wants them. Nobody. If a team wants somebody like Olsen, it's not to make him a starter. It's to get him as maybe a veteran, as a second choice keeper. But nobody's gonna pay $2 million per year for a guy like that just because he had an outstanding Euro. Nobody's gonna pay that $3 million in salary for Steven Zonzi, who's had maybe an okay 2 years at Rennes, but is a guy who's 32. Okay, Pedro, 33. Still 2 years on his contract, $3 million. That's
Bravo, Fienga. Good work.
I'm saying, just show me a team that would be able to handle this situation better. Everybody would be in the same spot. And look at Florenzi. Florenzi, who is 30 years old, was always apparently well-respected and well-liked in Italy by teams like Inter, Atalanta. Where are the teams interested in him? He's been looking for a team for the past 2 months. His agent is knocking on everybody's door. Nobody is willing to give this guy a contract. Nobody's willing to sign him permanently. Nobody. And this is a guy who comes off a decent year with PSG, who still plays for the Italian national team. So there is that. But nobody is interested in him. So if a guy like Florenzi, if you can't sell a guy like Florenzi, then how the hell are you going to get rid of a guy like Pastore, for example?
Oh, definitely. But the good thing for Florenzi is his agent, Lucci, he has turned to an old friend, Monchi at Sevilla, who you can find it in Roma's financial publication. Go see how much he gave him in a commission when they renewed Florenzi back in 2017, late 2017, I believe. I think it was 2.5 million euros that they gave, that Monchi gave to him. So
that's some
fantastic
nice friend
stuff.
Right there. Good friend.
Yeah. Yeah, before we go, though, I mean, just analyzing Shomurodov as an acquisition himself, I mean, you like this. You've said that previously. You like this move. For me, and I agree with what you said in the previous podcast, it just seems like, listen, people, you can just Google his statistics and you draw your conclusion from there. Genoa was not a good team last year. They weren't. They were terrible. They brought back Ballardini, who is like herpes. Once you believe he's gone, he sort of just reemerges out of nowhere. It's not like he was, playing for this tactically astute manager with a lot of players who are giving him a ton of service. This was a guy who basically was working with nothing around him. And listen, it's not a fantastic return, 8 goals, but let's be clear here. That was his first season in the Serie A.
And you know, the thing is, I would have liked to see Belotti. I said it on here.
Of course.
You know, after what was the game against Wales for the Italian national team, where we saw him work his ass off, compared to an Immobile that was, you know, complacent and didn't really bother to do anything. We said that it would be great to have somebody like Belotti up front there. Who's, you know, even if the goals are not going in, then he still has a lot of other things to do on the pitch, and he does them because he believes in the team. Unfortunately, that's not the situation you're in, and it was quite clear to me, and I just don't understand why it wasn't clear to a lot of other people, that as long as Dzeko's there with his 7.5 million euros of salary, you were not ever going to bring in a big name, ever. That's and Dzeko has been a very tough nut to crack. He's been there, and that salary of his has been an obstacle for a number of years. Why do you think Borja Mayoral was brought on a 2-year loan? That's why, because you have that guy taking that much money, and you can't sign more expensive alternatives. So what do? You sign the next best thing. You sign a player that is familiar with the coach, that there is mutual respect, that the player embodies, whether you like it or not, some of the qualities that Mourinho seeks in his attackers, that offers versatility, that is flexible in what he can do, and he comes in with the necessary hunger to make him a functional piece to a team. Now, this team is never going to have all-stars. This team doesn't have all-stars. They're not going to have all-stars this year. This team finished 7th, okay? Our all-star right now is a guy that's returning from 2 years' worth of injuries, Zaniolo. And then the next best thing, I guess, is the likes of Mkhitaryan and Pellegrini. Those are your all-stars right now. So those are the guys that you can count on. It's a tough market. It was always going to be a tough transfer window. I do think that obviously it's not going to be ideal if Roma stop at this, you know, at bring with the signings. But to me, the more important thing is whether they are able to get rid of as many of those dead weight as possible. That's, to me, the incoming market can stop here if you're able to find adequate solutions for a number of players, because that would mean that long term, that next year, you're freer. You have more mobility. You have more. You have more freedom in your decision making, because right now you still have, you know, you're still tied down, and these guys are just sucking the life out of you. And you have a player that you're interested in, but he wants this amount of money, and you can't, because hey, you know what? Pastore is in the midst of grilling season at his house, and Fazio is having some white wine on his terrace with the beautiful view of some cathedral in Rome, and that's what it comes down to.
Oh, the life of an unwanted player at Roma. It's truly like the height of the professional aim of everybody, to get paid, to not do anything, sit back, as you said, grill. All right, let's leave it there, because that's probably the most depressing way we can end it, talking about the guys who are earning a substantial amount of money to not play. So we will be back. Well, I guess it is towards the end of the week already. So we'll be back after the weekend. We'll get into more transfer stuff and all of the latest news that happens throughout the weekend. So thank you so, so much for tuning in, and we will chat with you in a few days. Until then, ciao.
Ciao.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.